The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Spirit that comes upon Jesus at his baptism sustains him when he is tested by Satan, so that he might proclaim the good news of God's reign. I begin reading at verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Do you know what it means, identification? Any idea what it means to be identified? Well, how many of you go to school? Almost everybody goes to school. When you went to
school every day.
Very good. When you went to school, did your mom or dad have to take some papers like your birth certificate, your social security number, anything like that? You don't think so? Well, I believe maybe they did, because I know they had to take your shot record. This is identification. Sometimes we carry, have you ever seen your mom and dad have to show their driver's license when they wanted to buy something or they wanted to pick something up? That's their identification. Identification is a thing that is happening all around us. Well, God identified us in a very, very special way. God loves us so much that he gave each one of us a special identification. And you know what that is? Your fingerprints. Your fingerprints are so special that even identical twins do not have the same fingerprints. Here's my fingerprint. Would you like to do your fingerprint? You would? Okay, I'll let you do it. Your fingerprint is so special. You want to do that? It was given to you by God. See, some fingerprints have swirls, some fingerprints have lines, and some have circles. Here, you can keep that. Jesus was identified in a very special way. Also, the day that, or last Sunday, we heard that when Jesus was on the mountain with the disciples, all of a sudden, out of the cloud, God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son." Listen to him. And today, in our gospel lesson, God spoke again. Did you hear when Pastor read, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? God identified his Son so that we could believe in him, and he has given us a special identification too. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your Son, and thank you for identifying him to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The house lights start to dim, and the murmuring crowd starts to settle down and get quiet. The play, the musical, is about ready to begin. But before the play actually begins, the symphony starts up with the overture. And they start maybe with a theme song, and then maybe the music moves to something light and airy. And then maybe it changes to something a bit scary. And after a few measures, then it comes back to something maybe comical, music that's comical. And then maybe something that is quite somber. And then as they move along, it turns triumphant. And then maybe back to the theme song again. The overture at the beginning of a musical kind of gives the audience a sense of what is going to happen as they sit there and they watch this play for the next hour and a half, 2 hours. And many of you have probably maybe gone to the theater, or if you watch old movies, you've noticed too that in the old movies, the credits actually rolled first, and while the credits were rolling, the overture was playing. Just listen to some of those, or watch some of those old movies by Rodgers and Hammerstein that did the music, or something. One of those old musicals. It's the overture. It lets you know what's happening. The gospel writers did much the same thing, or they give the tone of their book in just the first few sections as they wrote. In Matthew's gospel, he sets Jesus deep within Jewish history. He actually starts his gospel with a genealogy of listing all those who went before him and his ties back to King David. He sets Jesus there with that sense of history as God's chosen people. For Luke, he's a little bit different. He has a different style. Luke is the storyteller. And in Luke, of course, we find some of those parables we don't see in other places, such as the prodigal son or the good Samaritan. Those are unique to Luke. He is the storyteller. And so Luke starts out kind of in story fashion. He sets it up. He sets up the characters. And he gives us that background of before even Jesus appears, or even before Jesus is mentioned, it's that background of John the Baptist and the forerunner of Jesus. John, once again, is quite a bit different too. John goes back even further. John goes all the way back and has a creation story, or has echoes of that creation story. And he gets that whole cosmic picture of who God is and of who Jesus is within John's gospel. And we see that picture of light and darkness, because the light of the world is here. And Mark is different than the rest as well. Mark is one who does not mince words. He does not mess around. He gets to things immediately. And it seems as if Jesus appears from nowhere. Or at least from Nazareth, which is close to nowhere, as the ancients would think. But he just simply appears. And there's a sense of urgency, a sense of immediacy in Mark's gospel. That it's time, that business is at hand. We are here. Deal with it. In our gospel lesson for today, is as Jesus comes out of those waters of baptism, we hear that voice proclaiming who Jesus is, and you can't turn away from it. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And immediately, and I love this line, Jesus is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's driven into the wilderness. It's not saying, okay, Jesus, go pack your bags, go kiss the babies goodbye, it's time to go. He's just simply driven. It's almost as if he doesn't have a choice in the matter of going out into the wilderness. There's an urgency. There's a need to go. This is something you need to do. He's driven into that wilderness. And the wilderness is a place of temptations, a place of wild animals, and a place where angels wait on him. The wilderness has always been a place of temptation. And I mentioned this at our Ash Wednesday service, of going back to that story of the Israelite people as they wandered around in the wilderness. And it was a place of temptation for them. They had just barely gotten into the wilderness when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and they were tempted. They didn't think Moses was coming back. And so they made their own God. They were tempted, and they fell to that temptation. A little bit further on, they got hungry, and they just wanted to go back to Egypt. It didn't matter if they were slaves. They wanted to go back because they were hungry. They were tempted. But God sends manna. Later on in the story, once again, they are tempted. They say, we're tired of eating this manna. We want meat to eat. They fell to temptation once again. But God still sends his grace and mercy, and he sends quails to them. Later on, they say, we're thirsty. Once again, they complain against God. They fall to their temptation. But God sends them water instead. The wilderness is a place of temptation. And that's where Jesus goes, to be tempted by Satan. For us too, we enter this time of Lent. It's a time to look at the temptations in our lives. To look at our lives to see how those temptations have maybe strengthened us because we were able to overcome those temptations. Or maybe how we fell to those temptations and how we need to remember to be strong in faith when those temptations come. The wilderness is a place of temptation for us, and this time of Lent is a time to reflect upon that. The wilderness is also a place of wild animals. As it says, that's who was out there in the wilderness in our gospel lesson. I think it's kind of like South Texas, maybe, where everything has horns, thorns, or is poisonous. Jesus was out there with the wild animals, dangerous animals. Maybe there's dangerous animals in our lives, too. As we reflect upon those temptations, those wild animals that haunt us, that hurt us. Maybe it's something that we did in the past that we're just full of guilt and regret and shame. But that's the place where we go so that we can be forgiven of what we have fallen to, that we can be protected from those wild animals so that those wild animals do not hurt us anymore. The wilderness is also a place of angels. For many people are fascinated with angels, if you've noticed. And you see them just about everywhere. You see them in movies, or there's books about angels. You see them in cartoons. People have pictures of angels on their walls. And usually the angels are comforting. But as we look at angels in the Bible, they're really kind of scary too, like the wild animals are scary. Because they are very powerful beings. They help God in his work. If you remember some of the stories in the Bible about angels, God sends his angel to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve are kicked out, and he stands there with flames and his sword, and nobody is going to cross him. Powerful figure, scary figure in that sense. Or another story where Balaam is going to curse the Israelite people because they are headed towards the promised land. But God sends his angels to stop Balaam. And the angel is so scary. Balaam doesn't see the angel, but the angel is so scary that it stops his donkey and makes the donkey speak. Angels are sometimes frightening creatures. They're powerful creatures. They are, They are creations of God to help God. And here in our gospel lesson today, we see the angels in the wilderness, and they wait upon Jesus. For us too, in our wilderness, a lot of times these powerful beings, our God himself, comes to help us, to maybe guard us, to protect us, or to help lead us on, or to give us a nudge, or maybe even to drive us to where we need to go. God sends his angels to help these powerful creatures, these powerful beings. God sends to help us. And we do need that help as we wander around in our wilderness. This time of Lent is a time to stop and look and face our temptations and face those wild animals, but also to remember with hope that God does not abandon us. He will not let us starve. He will not let us thirst. But he feeds us with his sacraments. He feeds us with his body and his blood. He fills us. He nourishes us so that we do not wither away in that wilderness, but we have the hope of the cross and the resurrection. Our gospel lesson ends this morning that Jesus went about all of Galilee, proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. Repent, for God is present among us too. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.